Hello, everyone, and welcome to Top of Mind Florida. I'm Michael Williams.
You look a little frozen this morning. I'm Brian Crowley. Michael just got back from...
Well, I actually, keeping in mind that we tape some of these episodes, tape all the episodes. What am I saying? I got back from Alaska, two-week trip there.
Two-week trip. You look a little cold.
I tell you, love the glaciers, love the hiking, love the kayaking. They call it the last frontier. Beautiful, beautiful part of our country. My wife and I had been wanting to go there for years, and we finally did and had an absolutely spectacular adventure.
Well, rumor has it we're giving it back to the Russians, but that's for another time.
Different topic. Different topic, different day. Listen, wanted to talk a little bit today. This is our 15th outing with Top of Mind Florida. And at the very outset, we talked about why we wanted to do this. Of course, our history together was I met you 14 and a half years ago when I came to WPTV, retired last spring, and we did a public affairs broadcast
to the point
for many years. But we decided we wanted to continue those kind of interviews and sessions that we've had or will have, everything from rocket experts to politicians, Democrat and Republican, to a saxophonist, to you name it. It really is Top of Mind Florida. You enjoying it, my friend?
Oh, I love it. We've had a great list of guests. They've all been really fun to have. Yeah. And, you know, our approach has been that we talk some politics with them, but we also, you know, talk on a personal level with them and try to learn more about them, which I think is also important. We're not trying to get into the slugfest that happens so often. Now, you know, we really want to discuss issues in a thoughtful way. But even to me, even more important is really getting to know, letting people get to know the folks that we're talking to. So sometimes when you ask those funny off the wall questions, you know, they respond in ways that can be surprising and informative.
It really is. And it's part of it. We love bringing you at home into this as part of our audience, as part of that, and really felt from an informational perspective, a news perspective, a fun back of the book perspective, there's not a lot of this, and I know it sounds like a pat on the back, but my point is there's not a lot of this anymore, and we think that it fills, we hope for you it fills and will continue to fill a gap where you say, wow, didn't know about that person, didn't know about that story, didn't know about that take. And one of the things I love, and you and I have talked about it for years, I love, and I don't know how you watching this feel, I love the origin stories. And I think we always find a chance to say, move back a bit. What brought you from there to here? I always find that fascinating, sometimes the most fascinating part of our interviews. What about you?
Well, you know, sometimes like, you know, we've interviewed a couple of people that were born and raised in Miami.
Mm-hmm.
So then I ask them the question, so is it Miami or Miami?
Right.
And there have been interesting answers to that because I can remember when Bob Graham was governor and I was covering him, he grew up in Miami and he always said Miami. And I can remember hearing him say that and I'm like, Miami, you know?
Right.
And it's funny because the people who grew up there
know it.
They know about the two ways of saying Miami. You know, Miami is not said as often as it used to be, but it's one of those things where you just get people talking about, from there you go into things where they're talking about interesting things about growing up there, and you're, again, you're learning more about them as an individual as opposed to whatever they feel about on issues.
And then it'll sometimes lead them to talking about the big changes they've seen in their city. And I was chuckling because as a young Miami reporter, my Miami beat for many, many years before I came to Palm Beaches and Treasure Coast, J.L. Plummer, he was the city commissioner, and he would be driving around, and wherever you showed up at something, he'd be there because he had his scanners, and you'd always talk about Miami. And that was my first introduction of that.
Of course, another fun question to ask people that, especially people of a Cuban background in Miami, you know, where do you get the best Cuban sandwich, Miami or Tampa? Well, there's a big rivalry about that over, you know, Tampa versus Miami. A lot of people don't know that Tampa was a huge Cuban community long before Miami.
Before Miami.
Where cigars.
Home to a big cigar industry.
Yeah. So So if you're from if you're a Cuban from Tampa, and they make them slightly differently, mm-hmm. but it becomes this big issue that who has the best Cuban sandwich.
Well, I don't know about you at home, but I still vote Miami, and particularly Little Havana. Many a great meal there, and many a great president or presidential candidate who would come through Little Havana over the years. None of them said Miami, but they certainly enjoyed the Miami style and flair, and the great Cuban American flair that the great Cuban American community brought there. I always, as I talk to you, and I've thought about this, I think I've brought it up to you before. When you look back talking about origin stories that kind of lead you to this day, because I enjoy sitting and listening to your interviewing and style, what ultimately, and I know you were in the Marines, and thank you for your service, but you'd always talked about, was there a point where you said, I know that someday I'm going to be a reporter? Of course, you had a long, distinguished career at the Palm Beach Post. And talk about how you kind of evolved as a reporter and your interviewing style, and why you wanted to continue that work in a setting like this. You and I couldn't have dreamed of podcasts years ago, but now we can. But tell us a little bit of that origin story.
Well, as a young guy, I figured out fairly quickly I wasn't going to be a scientist.
We'll have an upcoming guest who is, so don't worry.
You know, I just got in. You know, I had some good high school teachers who got me interested in politics, political science. Right. You know. And I think part of it
high school was where for you, Brian?
High school was what?
Where was your high school?
I went to Riviera Beach High School. It's no longer.
Shout them out.
It became Suncoast High School a few years after I got out of Riviera Beach High School. You're trying to make me look old, Michael.
And never. You're ageless, you know.
And,
it.
And then, you know, during my time in the Marines, I got even more interested in political things, but not, you know, wasn't interested in being a politician. I always asked questions, mm-hmm. and I had some great mentors, and I felt that I had a responsibility to understand why and mm-hmm. to share that information with others. And I think one of the great losses we've had with the decline of media has been that there aren't enough people that are asking questions anymore of our leaders. Mm-hmm. And that goes from the local level all the way to the top. And there's not enough investigative reporting going on. There's not enough really getting behind the scenes of things going on. And even the fun stuff of just getting to know a politician in an interesting way so that you can convey that to your readers. You know, there's some very interesting personalities out there. And when you can get them away from the performance that they do and get the real person out there, often it's fascinating.
We've gotten away from thoughtful, probing conversation about the issues of the day. We've gotten away from the ability to sit and have a polite discussion. That doesn't mean you don't ask tough questions. You've always been a master at that. It's one reason, I think, in a modest way, that we hope Top of Mind Florida helps fill that. I look around the state, and I certainly have not surveyed outlets across the state, but they're not a lot doing that anymore. And I am proud that in our first, this is, I believe, right now as we sit here, is our 15th episode. And as we do that it helps fill that a little bit. But it's sad to me that we've lost that. We have more information out there, more voices, which is wonderful. It's the democratization of voices there, and I think that's wonderful. But at the same time, are we better informed? Are we more thoughtful? Are we more willing to listen to other sides? On the more serious side of what we're doing, I think we hope journalist roots that we have that, yeah, you know, we fill a little bit of that gap and have fun at the same time. And I know you feel the same way because you've talked to me about it a lot.
Well, you know, first off, I feel very fortunate that we've gotten such good feedback about Top of Mind Florida. And, you know, our subscriber list is growing. We've had tens of thousands of views on all of the listens on all the various platforms. There's like 1 million platforms out there now, but I've been sort of amazed at how many people have been watching us on TikTok.
Brian and Michael don't stream TikTok audience generally. Okay, let's just own it.
So we've been very fortunate with people who have really, like what we're doing and are encouraging us to do more. And I hope more people will subscribe and watch and share the information. I really like the fact that we have this kind of laid back format where we also ask tough questions. I mean, we don't ignore the issues. We really deal with the issues. I'm never going to stop dealing with the issues, but at the same time, we try to make it comfortable for the guest and enlightening for the viewers.
And again, as we said, it's not all thought leaders in the political realm. We have people are just flat out fun. Social media guest,
Angie Santola,
the pink science teacher from Miami. Upcoming episode with a wonderful saxophonist, a lady who's making her name as I say the rocket lady, a distinguished member of the engineering community locally, who's making her name. Who you saw something about her? That'll be part of an upcoming episode about her arc, her story, her origin story, and how she's inspiring others. As you go back, Brian, I also think, too, because you and I laugh a lot, what are some of the funnier stories before we get into some of what's top of mind for you now? As you look back at the things that were formative experiences, whether they were funny or serious, what are one or two?
Well, I always like to tell this story that I was covering a U.S. Senate race, and I was with Peter Deutsch.
Right.
And he was going to have a fundraiser in Jacksonville.
Right.
So we were going to drive up to Jacksonville in his minivan, the emphasis on the word mini.
Right.
So as we're driving from Broward to Jacksonville, for the evening fundraiser, there's the driver, Peter Deutsch, in the front seat. There's me, an aide sitting behind Peter Deutsch, and then behind us, there's two guys with their large cameras. We're not talking cell phones now. We're talking cameras sitting in the back with their cameras in their laps.
I know those well.
Why they weren't in the trunk of the mini van, I didn't quite understand at the time until we returned. So that night, he decided we were going to drive all the way back to Broward. Mm-hmm. Everybody's exhausted. And we pull into a gas station. And he gets out of the car, goes into the restroom, and he comes out wearing his pajamas.
Did you do a double take?
He goes around to the back of the minivan and pulls out his very large pillow and his very large comfy blanket, gets back in the car, wraps himself all up, has his pillow in his jammies, and he's going to sleep for the night. But then he starts cranking the seat back, 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 then turns around as he's mere inches from his aide's lap and says, "Can I go back a little more?" And of course, the aide is not going to tell him no.
Right. Long drive
so
home.
He cranks it all the way back, and for the next 3 hours, he's practically in his aide's lap. The rest of us are struggling just to be comfortable in the car. I now knew why the camera equipment wasn't in the back. But it said so much about him and how much he cared about his own staff, how much he cared about people, and how much of it was about him. And I would see those kind of, not quite to that extreme, but I would see those kinds of moments all the time.
Yeah.
I often would tell the story that I was in the limo with Ronald Reagan when he was running for governor in president in 1980.
Yeah.
And what I would say to people, and especially if I was talking to an audience, is I would very dramatically talk about how sitting there, I had an opportunity to investigate one of the biggest potential scandals in the history of the country. And as we're driving down the road, Reagan sees a little crowd of people that are with their Reagan signs,
right.
And he says to me during our interview, he says, "Excuse me a minute, I'm going to roll down the window so I can wave these people. They often wait a long time."
Right. And sure, of course.
Plenty
of motorcade
routes. You know, he was being very genuine about these people there. But as he turns his head and he's looking out the window, this guy, this world-class investigative political journalist.
If you say so yourself.
If I say so myself, takes on this big issue. I stare at the back of his head and I try to figure out, does he or doesn't he dye his hair?
Wow.
I mean, people have no reason to remember that now, but it was a big thing back then. Everybody's like, he's too old not to have any gray hair. Well, you know, who cares really?
Right.
But I will confess, I never did figure it out. And even as I'm looking, I thought,
it did not turn the election.
It did not turn the election. But you have those goofy moments too.
I remember mine. We all have so many. I do remember formative experience at college because it reminded me of fact finding. Gene Chance, and you always remember some of your best professors. And I was in the broadcast track, but we also took print related work. And Gene Chance, University of Florida. And she was tough as nails, and you had to do a 50-page typed double-spaced term paper on a topic you choose. And you were not allowed to have a single fact error, or you'd either get a failing grade or darn near it. And she knew I was doing double courses. I was eating, you know, grubbing for food and trying to get through the coursework quicker. And I'll never forget. So she grades my paper. I happened to be the only one left in class. She knew I was doubling up, and she was a stickler. And Johns Hopkins, and all of the term papers, she found one mistake. She comes up to me, it was after class, and the lesson was, if you work really, really hard, sometimes even the toughest boss in journalism or anything else will give you a little break, says, you realize you said Johns Hopkins instead of Hopkins Medical Center. I was just distraught, because I knew you said, I know how hard you've worked, it was your one mistake. Puts a B minus on the paper. Not only did it talk about how generous she was as a journalist, it taught me a lesson about quadruple, triple checking facts. And then another lesson was about let other people be funny. I had George Larimore, my first news director, and I decided to be funny in a story. I overtly wrote some kind of jokey thing in a story, and he comes up to me, Michael, he's from Tennessee, never forget it, 1981. He says, Michael, can I give you a piece of advice? I said, sure, George. He said, if you're going to be funny as a TV newsman, be really funny. And he said, otherwise, why don't you leave it to Johnny Carson, which is aging myself. I decided to leave it to Johnny Carson. I looked for other fun stories from people, but it was a story both serious and funny about the life of journalism and know your lane, get your facts right, have fun, as we both have. I did, in hearing your story too, you were able to connect with political leaders in a way. Can you imagine now in the world where they feel like they have to be on 24/7 to even hop in your pajamas, notwithstanding the other issues, you wouldn't feel like you could do it. It was a different time and place. Nonetheless, we've had a lot of fun. And those are the kind of stories we continue to bring you on Top of Mind Florida. We'd like to hope a combined, what would that be, about 90 plus years of experience is worth something, and that you get a chuckle.
85 of those years are Michael's.
Right, right. But, you know. Brian dyes his hair gray so that he looks even more distinguished. It's not really gray. It's all red, his natural color, natural redhead here. And I've seen the pictures with the nice red beard and all of that. Brian, we'll turn to, as we talk about Top of Mind Florida, one of the things, we named it Top of Mind because at the end of my former broadcast, To the Point, I would often say to people, including you, what have we missed? What else is top of mind? As we were sitting down with, among others, my wife, retired journalist, your wife, Cheryl, Lisa, my wife, your wife, Cheryl, expert PR master, public relations, her whole career. And she had said, well, you all say top of mind a lot. We all got to think, oh, top of mind, Florida. So there was a title born for our podcast. What is top of mind as we turn a bit to kind of what's in the news, and there's plenty of it these days. What is top of mind for you, my friend?
Well, our governor, Ron DeSantis, is finally going to appoint a lieutenant governor, Jay Collins, which really, we haven't had a lieutenant governor since February. So, you know, what are we, 6-7 months into not having a lieutenant governor, which, as we talked about on an earlier podcast, do we really need a lieutenant governor in Florida? They don't really have a job.
Right.
And there are 6 states in the country that don't have lieutenant governors. And maybe it's time for the legislature to really sit down and think about, do we really need a lieutenant governor, or do we actually need to have a lieutenant governor who's actually assigned specific duties?
Well, especially since they're adopting DOGE here, government, it might eliminate a salary since everybody seems dead set to take the DOGE effort at the federal level to the state of Florida.
Yeah, well, you know, one of the things Florida DOGE ought to be looking at is the nearly every day travel that Ron DeSantis takes on the state jet. I think if he takes his kids to the park in Tallahassee, he takes the jet. I mean, he even announcing the lieutenant governor, his plan was to fly to Tampa to make the announcement, as opposed to having Collins go to Tallahassee, where he's going to be lieutenant governor, and make the announcement there. But it's nearly every day he flies somewhere. It's kind of fascinating.
We'd have to compare and contrast with some of his predecessors, but certainly.
Well, I covered a few of them. I don't remember any of them flying quite as often as he did.
Let me ask you, speaking of Governor DeSantis and speaking of politics, we used to say all politics is local. I suppose in some ways seems to be true. What's Texas redistricting? Democrats leave the state to try and avoid redistricting there. Governor DeSantis now talking about redistricting in Florida yet again, which is already a red state, but to try and beef up the number of GOP seats in Florida and may go down that track. Sounds like very much wants to. Your thoughts on that, Brian? Used to be a once every 10-year matter and was controversial
then. And it should be once.
On both sides.
It should be once every 10 years after the census. What are Republicans redistricting for in Florida?
In a red state.
They have overwhelming control of the congressional delegation. They have overwhelming control of the Florida House and the Florida Senate, which would not be part of the redistricting necessarily. But, you know, they have over a million more registered voters than the Democrats. They control much of the local governments around the state. What are you fixing?
Mm-hmm.
They're not fixing anything. It's just, it's become that classic, let's focus on that. Let's make a lot of political noise about that. Because it's easier to get mad at Disney World about woke stuff than it is to deal with hurricane insurance for homeowners. It's, you know, they're talking about getting rid of property taxes. Mm-hmm. You know, that's another thing where there's no plan laid out. But we'll talk about it a lot, and what impact will it have on local governments? We don't know yet if they actually do get rid of property taxes. But is it really a major issue? Mm-hmm. I mean, if the governor and legislature want to help the average person, maybe they should get rid of the 58 cents a gallon state gasoline tax.
Mm-hmm.
That would bring gas prices down a lot, and that would save people a lot of money who commute to work. Some of the issues they come up with, they're great for making a lot of noise and getting a lot of attention, but are they really dealing with the needs of the average person?
And that's a jumping off point, but before we get there, because it's something I've asked you about for years, but before we get there, no conversation about what's top of mind can be top of mind in Florida right now without a discussion about, you guessed it, alligator Alcatraz. Your ongoing thoughts about that continuing controversy.
Well, as we're taping this, and this will probably come out after this happens, but, you know, we have a major hurricane that's likely to turn north, but a major hurricane that may get fairly close to us. What's the plan for evacuating people? Apparently hundreds, maybe thousands of people. We never get an honest number about how many people there, the staff and everything else. We have people sitting in the middle of the Everglades in tents, with chain link fence around them. Anybody who walks outside their house just to get the mail knows how hot it is outside right now. And we're not just, you know, we have decided that any immigrant who is here illegally is a criminal. Well, it's a little like saying anybody who runs a stop sign is a criminal. So whether they were here 20 years and doing honest work and, you know,
paying
being
taxes.
good citizens, if you will, even though they're not citizens, we've decided to lump them all together with pedophiles and murderers and drug dealers. And then we're going to do this by creating this alligator Alcatraz. Frankly, when they named it, it told me that these young people who are running our state, and I say young that they don't even know what Alcatraz was, you know. I mean, it was a horrific place that for people. And why they, it's still not even fair to the staff. I can't even imagine the staff out there constantly fighting mosquitoes and everything else going on out there. It's just, sure, get rid of the hardcore drug dealers and and pedophiles and murder and all that. Absolutely. But, you know, there are people who are talking about, you know, they're working in restaurants, working in agriculture, mm-hmm. working, and they're doing it for decades. Yeah. And we're treating them as bad as we're treating pedophiles. It's odd.
In our remaining moments, before we get to the famed Crowley closer, which we've kept as part of Top of Mind Florida, which I love. But it does seem to me, Brian, that in nationalizing almost everything, it's almost like the only game that matters is the Super Bowl. And the Super Bowl right now, of course, is politics at the national level. And what's the latest that the Trump administration's done? And of course, with his local connection, Mar-a-Lago, that makes it all the more apt for a lot of that coverage and focus, the Florida focus and all of that. But it seems to me what we're losing, and you and I have talked about it, but I'd like your final take, is we talk so much about national issues, so much about the culture wars, that we do lose the nuance, the understanding of the important blocking and tackling on the issues about road building, about, as you said earlier, affordability, about how our schools are being run, about whether they're overcrowded or not, about whether we're teaching our students how to live in a new AI future. It seems to me all of that is being swept aside with this constant focus at the various highest levels of kind of the nationalization. The only thing I care about is the big game, what's going on in Washington today. And I think to diminishing the things that matter to your everyday life, did the garbage get picked up on time? What's happening with my local health department, on and on. Right or wrong, what is your sense of that? You always have such good nuance for that.
I think that's absolutely right. And you're already starting to hear from people in the elder care mm-hmm. in Florida.
Another huge topic.
In Florida, where part of the result of the removing immigrants is that they're losing workers. Mm. And, you know, and it's creating a crisis in some of these elder care centers, the shortage of workers. And elder care is going to be increasingly a big issue in this state, where, you know, we have more than our share of retirees living in Florida, leaving the cold weather up north, as we've done for 50, 60 years. Yeah. And one of the biggest differences, if you look at the generations before baby boomers, they didn't live as long. Mm-hmm. You know, baby boomer poverty and health issues in Florida are going to be huge. We're inconveniencing everybody by living into our 80s and 90s, and some are living into over 100. And as healthcare continues to improve, those numbers are going to get bigger and bigger. Well, you know, what is Florida going to be doing to ensure that that population is being taken care of? Mm-hmm. And there's very little discussion about that, but it's happening.
Well, that and many other serious topics, from the serious to the sublime, from the funny to the offbeat, we hope that you find Top of Mind Florida consistently is bringing you all of that. Couldn't be working with somebody, a better friend, or somebody who knows the lay of the land better, and Brian Crowley. We've had a lot of fun together over the years, and a lot of serious topics as well. So if that fits into your day, and we certainly hope it does, and those of you watching, spread the word, Top of Mind Florida, a chance to talk about all of these issues, and so that all of us think, and the key is so that all of us think, never to tell you what to think, which we used to talk about a lot, but to say, let's all of us think and occasionally have some laughs along the way. Final
Absolutely.
Crowley closer comment, sir.
Well, my finally Crowley closer is going to be, thank you, Michael, for being such a great part of this and being such a dear friend. Yeah. And I look forward to our future episodes. We've had some great guests in our first 15 episodes. We got some great guests coming up, and I hope more people will subscribe and watch. It's the best 30 minutes of your day.
I love it. We'll take it away on that. Brian Crowley, Michael Williams here, Top of Mind Florida. Have a wonderful day.